this past Sunday, early morning Calgary time, not that early, but early enough, a 2-0 victory over the previously undefeated Finns, and Canada captures its second consecutive gold. The man who co-authored that team is the co-general manager, Brad Treliving of the Calgary Flames, joins us now. I don't mean to pry, and it's not for me to say, but my spies tell me that you were in Russia for that on Sunday morning, and last night were in Red Deer for a Memorial Cup game. To the best of my knowledge, there is no direct flight. Are you sleeping? How are you doing this?
Well, good to hear your voice, guys. Good to be back. My voice is, what's left of it, is barely hanging on. But no, it was, we were able to get, I won't lie to you, it was a late night, Sunday night, I guess it was. And then, but got a good sleep on the plane back. It's a long trek back, so we were fresh as a daisy to head up to Red Deer last night and catch the game.
The accomplishment for your club over in Russia to win that tournament, it's not an easy one to win. The club did it last year. But to face an opponent that bloodied your nose in the round robin and then to beat them in the championship game, that had to be a little bit sweet for you.
Yeah, you know, Rob, it, as you said, it's a difficult tournament. Until you're really in it, you don't get a sense of it. It seems like you're there forever. So it's a real commitment on behalf of the players. I mean, ultimately, this is a volunteer tournament. And so I thought the coaches did a great job in terms of managing the group. you know, you go through that preliminary round, and there's some games that, you know, there's some games that, you know, you're expected, obviously, to win. But what you find in this tournament is, on the surface, you may think a team like Hungary isn't going to be a great opponent. But everybody gets up for Canada, and it's a men's tournament. You know, these are grown men in terms of some of the young players you have. So even you're an NHL player, you know, we had a couple of young kids on the team, and when you go into this tournament and you're playing against men, and all the teams play extremely hard, so it's a difficult tournament. But I thought our best game was our final game, and the players were locked in. I thought the coaches did a great job in terms of the game plan against the Finns. The Finns are, you know, you've seen what over the course of just this past calendar year, the strides and the success Finnish hockey is having. And, you know, you have to play a real patient game with them. And I thought we were able to do that and were rewarded for it. So hats off to the job done by the players and coaches.
Brad, what are the things that you took away from this as, you know, as a manager in the National Hockey League? I mean, you don't do things by accident. This is an opportunity that presented itself and you jumped at it. But I know it's early, so maybe some of them come later on, but are there takeaways from you from this tournament that you can apply to your day job?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, going into it, you really feel that you're gonna get a book of business on guys more than you've got. I mean, you know the players. For instance, you've got a library full of reports and scouting information. But as I've said many times when I first came to Calgary, until you're around players every day for an extended period of time, you don't really know them. So, you know, the 22 guys or whatever it is we had there, you feel like you got a real intimate knowledge of them now, not only as players, but as people. you know, you're very hands-on, not only with your team, but you're able to see all the other teams, you know, throughout the tournament. For the most part, it was three games a day, so you'd be there, you'd watch all the other teams on a regular basis, you're around them in the hotel. It's a great, great opportunity to build that book of business on all these players. And then secondarily, when you're able to have success, I think, I don't care where you're at, when you have success, there's fingerprints and there's clues to success. And when you're able to win, whether it be any type of championship at any league, you know, there's clues that lead you to that successful trail. And I've really looked at that, you know, even on the flight back and the last couple of days reflecting on it, there's reasons why you win. And so you try to take those lessons learned and apply it to your team. So I think there was, you know, apart from being involved with Hockey Canada, who do such a great job, in preparing and sort of taking away every excuse you could possibly think of. You come away there with a real good knowledge of the group that you had, the coaches, the staff, the players, and then you take a little bit of that preparation, those things that you go through, even though it's condensed and it's shorter than obviously a NHL season. You know, I think you draw back, you'll look back on those experiences and use them with our team moving forward, and hopefully at some point have the same result.
Brad Treliving, our guest here on The Big Show, of course, general manager of the Calgary Flames, co-general manager of the gold medal champions Canadian team at the World Hockey Championships. Pat?
Brad, going into the tournament, we kind of talked a lot, and you talked a lot about the influence of this team as to the World Cup team that plays in September. Now that you have gone through the tournament, what was that like, knowing that there was kind of another tournament that, you know, was related to this group playing in Russia?
Well, you know, we were real involved with Doug Armstrong, I should say, was really involved with us. I talked to Army daily. Obviously, he used it as something to take his mind off the series that he was in. But we talked daily on how players were performing, different situations. They had members of their management staff and coaching staff over there throughout the tournament. Mark Bergevin spent some time there. Mike Babcock was with us for a week. So, you know, it was you know, the World Cup staff used that tournament, and there was a handful of guys that we, you know, that they spoke to and talked to them of that, you know, again, this was going to be an evaluation tool, and I think it was really important and valuable for the World Cup evaluation. Not that you're using a 3-week audition. You know what these players that are in that discussion have been around the league for a long time. You know them. But you know, as you get down to those final selections that those guys are making the World Cup team, you're evaluating. You know, it's sort of that last impression. The longer you can play, the more of an impression and the lasting impression you're going to leave. So that part was really interesting, and you know, they included me in a lot of those discussions. So it was neat just to, you know, get to hear where, you know, they're picturing guys and sort of the makeup. But a large part of our group was a real young group. You know, when we started the process of building this team. And again, you're at the mercy a little bit of, you know, you don't necessarily know who's going to be available to you. You know, whether it be teams still playing, obviously in the playoffs, you know, players who choose not to go for whatever reason, whether it be injury or the like. So you know, George and I spent a lot of time, George McPhee, talking about a theme. Like, I don't think you can go into, you don't build teams just going and grabbing players. You know, you have to have a theme and a plan, and really our theme, looking at it early on, says, you know, more than likely we're going to have a young group here. So we kind of researched a lot of the, you know, the players available and looked back in history, and you know, that 91, 92, 99, 90 through 93 age bracket had a lot of success through the years at international events, whether it be the under 18, even going back to the Ivan Hlinka in the summers, the World Junior team. So there was, you know, that was sort of our theme going in. We're going to have some young players. Let's try to, you know, obviously get the best group that we can get, but let's try to hit on the mix and chemistry. And in a short tournament like that, if you can get the chemistry right, and get a bond, and a group that, you know, in some cases has a history together, we felt that was a real strong theme to go on. And you know, we added a player like Ellis Lade, who was part of that group, so we knew he came over late, but he had a history with a number of the guys that were on the team. He fit in seamlessly. So so you had those two angles. You had some, I wouldn't say older players, but you had some players maybe more established that were looking at potentially not only trying to have success with this team, but putting themselves in a position for the World Cup discussion. And then we had that younger nucleus of this team that we really tried to build around and support, and put them in the best position to have success.
I'm curious as to your labor division, because you've got lots of stuff pending with your NHL team, and obviously you had a tournament to be the co-general manager over. How was your division? How busy were you on top of your Team Canada duties over there?
Well, once you get over there, obviously there's things that you're talking with the coaches every day, and you're in a lot of ways it's a scouting trip in a lot of ways, because you're going to the games, you're evaluating, you're evaluating all the players that are over there. So, once you've selected the team, quite frankly, the day to day heavy lifting is done by the coaches. Now you're always talking about lineups and, maybe who playing with who, but ultimately the coaches are making those decisions. You're there to support them and offer any input you can. So although we were talking about this the other day, in a lot of ways, it's no different than being here. You're making your calls. You're constantly in touch with your staff and in terms of what's going on. There's a lot of people in terms of managers. There was a bunch of the managers, most of the managers over there at different periods of time, so you're able to interact with them. Just the biggest difference is you're doing a lot of your calls in the middle of the night. Your body clock takes a bit of a beating, because when it's, I think it was a nine, it, well, it was a 9 hour time difference between Calgary and there. So, your calls to the West Coast are 10 hours behind, and you're 7 hours to the East. So you're not unlike what you'd be doing here. You're making sure you're staying in touch with all the different teams. There's a little bit, for the first part when you go over there, traditionally that's a little bit of a downtime in the league. A lot of teams are, either in the playoffs or those that have been eliminated or those that didn't make it are going through their organizational meetings, and you're doing sort of your introspective review. So then, the last little while, you're staying in touch. So, a lot of the Flames business took center stage. You're at games during the day when everybody's sleeping here, and then you're on the phone at night. So it's definitely good to be back and sort of getting back in a little bit more of a hourly routine at the right hours of day. But our business that we've got to take care of here, we did not lose focus of that over the course of the time we were away.
You mentioned kind of a scouting trip as much as anything else. You had one guy from your team playing on Team Sweden. I know that you beat them along the way to the gold medal. Just from what you saw of Michael Backlund for Sweden, how would you evaluate his play?
Well, for Backs, we weren't in the same spot. They were in Moscow. We were based out of St. Petersburg until the medal round, and then actually they came over. They came over to St. Petersburg for the quarterfinal game, and then I had a chance to visit with Backs when they got over there. I had watched their games on TV a little bit in the preliminary round, and I thought he played real well. He was their mistaken. I think he was their leading scorer. He led their team in ice time for forwards. They used him in all situations. He had a couple of, we played well. I think they, we were lucky to get a few by their goalie in the game that we played. But he was a really important player. I know going into the game against them, the scouting report that our coaches had and had put together, they had a lot of questions for me on Backs, because he was, as for those of us that know Backs, he touches a lot of parts of the game. He was obviously playing big minutes, 5-on-5, both sides of special teams. And I thought he had a real good tournament, and had a good visit with him when they got in, a little visit with him after the game, and, told him I was proud of how he played and wished him a good summer and told him I'd be in touch in the next little bit.
Brad Treliving, the general manager of the Calgary Flames and co-general manager of Team Canada, the World Hockey Championships, our guest. You mentioned scouting trip. What about this tournament in terms of potential free agents or potential European players that could come over? Was it a deep group? And a follow-up to that is, are you able to maybe kind of project ahead a year too? Because there's a big goalie that played for a good team that has one more year in Russia. I'm just kind of curious about the players that you might have seen over there.
Yeah, our staff have done a good job over the course of the year. Excuse me. You know, tracking those guys. Obviously, we've signed Preble, who you know, if he wasn't injured, he would have been playing for the Czechs. And there were guys that we are watching now and looking at and chatting with. And then, you know, whether it be for this year and then also in the future, there's, you know, as traditionally is with a lot of those European players, there's contractual situations. Some of them are under contract, which in some cases there's a window where they're able to look at getting out of their contract. Some they're not. Obviously, the goaltender you speak about, Koskinen, who had some time in North America a few years ago, played in the American League in Bridgeport, was in the New York Islanders system. He actually plays in St. Petersburg and signed a new 2-year contract over there. And again, money is always a factor. Sure. You know, his contract is in and around when you equate it to what, you know, when you take into consideration the tax situation, it'd be the equivalent of making about $5 million over here in an NHL contractual situation. But he was real good. But there's a number of players, and you know, you're always looking for the right fit, and not everybody, you know, obviously we hear about the Panarins and those type of high-end guys that are signed, but you know, there's certainly some players that played in that tournament that can help teams in certain roles, and you're exactly right. It may be for now, and it could be a year from now. So you continue to, you know, keep current on those players. So it's a very valuable tool in that regard.
While you're away, I don't know if anybody told you, but your hockey club's name kept coming up in conversations about coaches. How would you describe your search for a new bench boss?
Well, it's ongoing. It's been real. It's been an interesting process. We were able to get some work done over there on that. You know, talking with a number of guys, some in person, some on the phone, and really doing a lot of homework. You know, it's one thing to say, okay, I'm just going to go talk to a bunch of guys. I think, you know, in my mind, I've sort of got a group of candidates that you know, you really want to do a lot of homework on them. That's not just talking with them, but you know, more labor intensive is talking with people that they've worked with and against and you know, been in the same organization with or maybe was a manager with them in, you know, at a different time and place. So you're trying to, in a lot of ways, it's no different than, you know, the research you do on players. And so that part has been really interesting in terms of, you know, a lot of the work that's getting done. But we're progressing, I guess would be the word to say it. You know, you guys have heard me say this going back to our press conference, that there's no, you know, there's no magic date here, but like anything, we've got a number of things in our to-do list, and if you can get certain ones checked off, you want to do that. So we're gonna keep progressing here. It's obviously an important decision for us, and I'm very confident that we're gonna get the right person and the right fit for our team, and we're under no time crunch, and doing it quickly is not the objective here. It's doing it properly, and but it was an interesting time over there. We were able to talk with a lot of guys, like I said, both in person and on the phone, and the process continues.
Brad, I know you're one of those guys that you're not going to close your mind to anything, so I don't want to ask you a black and white or a yes or no question, but in terms of this net that you're casting, is it possible that you may end up coming up with two candidates here? And by that, I mean, we've seen a head coach and a veteran associate coach. Is that something you might look at?
Yeah, I'm not closed-minded. You know, our number one priority right now is to find a head coach. But at the end of the day, Rob, what you're trying to do is you build an organization, is you're trying to add great people at all levels, at all positions. And so that's, you know, obviously we do have a position right now as an assistant associate coach, whatever you want to term it. So those are, you're always looking and thinking of different things. Number one right now is to get that head coach on board and in place, because I think in fairness to that, you want that person's input and comfort with, you know, as you build your staff. So that's the priority. But, you know, as you really, what you find is there's a lot of good people out there, and you know, there's lots of real intelligent, you know, people, and you know, have got great views of the game, and so that part's been really, like I said, it's been really interesting. It's been really productive. You're learning a lot, and so. To answer the question, I'm not closed-minded anything, but you know, the focus right now is to get the head coach solidified, and then we'll go from there.
Brad, just a quick follow-up on that. Whenever that decision is made, does the new head coach have total autonomy on his staff, or, you know, you've retained a number of coaches on the transaction a few weeks ago? I'm curious, how much autonomy will the new coach have in terms of who he wants in the fold?
Well, that's something we'll talk with him about. I think, you know, the staff members that are here, obviously, we got Marty and Jordan Prings, who I think a great deal of. So, you know, those guys are going to be involved in the organization going forward, and we'll have those discussions of how we, you know, who does what, and how we build the staff, and you know, what responsibilities are going to be, who's going to handle what. So, you know, those are good people, and I think anybody coming in is going to be in a great position to have good people with them. But, you know, whether that's another person, another two people, we'll see, that are added to the staff, those are things to be determined. But I do feel that the guys that are with us here right now are going to be moving forward with us once we're up and going here with our new head coach.
Last one for me, Brad, and that has to do, and we alluded to the fact you've been up to the Memorial Cup. There's a handful of players there that potentially, you know, your team could look at the first round, maybe even the second round. How much does an event at the end of the year influence that?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Rob. You got to be careful in these events. It's still, we've actually got our staff in here now. Our amateur scouting staff are going through our meetings this week. And, you know, any evaluation, you put credence into it. So, you know, the good thing about a Memorial Cup is you're talking about the pinnacle of junior hockey. Or, you know, you've got the best teams, you got the best competition. So it's a great evaluation tool, but you also got to be those, you know, snapshots, if you will, whether it be this tournament, whether it be the under-18s at the end of the year that we were at in Grand Forks earlier, you know, in April, you also got to be careful, you know, because that's the last viewing you see, and that's like anything else that sticks with you, right? Your last snapshot. So, you know, again, there's, you know, we were talking about the player today that you've seen, you know, through your staff 68 times this year, And you know, the body of work always takes precedent over good game, bad game, you know, at the end of May. So in a lot of ways, you're rounding out your profile of the player, but it does have substance. It has substance when you're, you know, it's like watching and evaluating players in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You know, it's the most important time of the year, and you always want to see how players perform at the most important time of the year. So it has great value. The stakes are the highest, the stage and the lights are the brightest. But you also can't forget what's happened through, you know, in most cases, the last couple of years that you've been following these players. So, you know, to be able to have that event as close as it is certainly handy and convenient. And there's some good hockey going on up there. So we'll be checking out it the rest of the week.
As always, Brad, we really appreciate this. Never before we've interviewed you and felt as guilty as we do today. you sound like you could use a little bit of a break, and you earned one. Thanks for doing this, and we will talk soon.
I feel much better than I sound. So
okay.
Guys, and always a pleasure. We'll see you soon.
Okay, thanks, Brad.
Okay, bye now.
Brad Treliving, general manager of the Calgary Flames.
I still feel bad.
I do too.